Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Wambach, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, here in the United States of America. It's a blessing to be with you once again today, sharing the Word of God on this, the first day of January 2016. Can you imagine? Days have changed in counting. We are saying 2016 instead of 2015. Can you imagine if they started saying 1954, 1955, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. Then we said 1970, then 1980, 90. Now we said 20, 2001, 02. Now this is 2016. 16 years after the year 2000. This is amazing. This is really amazing. And you know what? God is in total control. He has everything under his grasp. He knows what he's doing. And it's a great joy to know that we have God on our side whenever we do anything that we do. Because the Lord is a gracious God and a loving God. Well, here we are in the new year, 2016, and I can assure you, we've got to make resolutions. My mother-in-law, my wife, they were asking me the resolution for 2016. I said, well, we need to have a brand new vehicle, a Suburban, for this year. And also, we need to get ourselves set and ready to make a trip to Africa. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make a trip to Africa, travel there for about a month, and then come back to the United States. And so that's the resolution. But those are the main things that we got to work on. And I'm so happy about the Word of Life Bible College, which is starting on the 11th of January, 2016. We'll begin teaching. We'll be posting teaching on the internet. I have a number of emails. I mixed up one of my emails. I got to get the password, and this thing couldn't just click in. But I have another one which I use. But this email I've been trying to tackle with, and I've been battling with it. But it's gonna work anyway. And so, dear ones, here we are in 2016. What is your resolution? When they say resolution, they mean what are the things that you intend or you believe God for, you're believing God for? What things do you want to come to pass, you see? What do you want to come to pass in the year 2016? Like I told you, I said, I need a brand new vehicle. We need a brand new vehicle, a Suburban, which we can use for ministry. And also, to make sure everything is in place for us to take a trip to go to Zambia, Africa, and visit. You know, I got to see my mama, and I got to see the church. I got to see some of the families in Zambia, the kids in Zambia. So we need to make that trip. But overall, I think this year is strong in that we are starting the year with the Word of Life Bible College. It's in my blood to train people for the ministry. I had an impartation, a very strong impartation from Archbishop Idahosa from Nigeria, the man I served in ministry for 2 years, who ordained me to the ministry. I have that strong impartation to duplicate the kind of ministry he had, you know, into my life. But the major one standing out is mainly broadcasting and Bible college. He was running a Bible school. Now he has that Bible school has developed. He had another school where he trained in the secular education students, and he has now a university. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Then I had a strong impartation also from Rhema. I did 3 years of study with Kenneth Haggins, senior. He's a big certificate he signed for me, the diploma I finished. I lost some of the documents, and they replaced my certificate. But the point is, that mantle is on me. The moment I graduated from Rhema, tell you what, things began to change. The moment I received that diploma from Rhema, everything began to change. That man is a man of God. Within a short time, it was like a whirlwind. Things moved so fast, and here I am, I found myself here in the United States of America. All the students who are going to study with us, all those students, we're going to pray for you that you're going to receive the impartation that is upon this ministry for signs and wonders in your ministry. Mind you, with the ministry you attach yourself to, that's the mantle you receive upon your life. If you attach yourself mainly to a ministry that has majored mainly in broadcasting and radio, just know that your mantling and your ministry is going to be radio and broadcasting in television or whatever. See, when you look at Elisha, see, Elisha served Elijah in ministry as a right-hand man of Elijah. And when you look at Elisha's life, when Elijah was to be taken away from him, he asked Elisha, what is it that you want that the Lord should do for you before I'm taken away from you? You see, that was a big question. And guess what Elisha said? That I may have or receive a double portion of your spirit. This man was asking something beyond the capacity of Elijah. Elijah said, you know what? I can't do that. But let me assure you one thing. As you see me being taken away from you, and you see me going into glory, that thing which you so desire shall come to pass. So this means we got to affix our eyes on the vision and the person that God called us to save. Elijah to affix his eyes on the person God called him to save, and that was Elijah. When you are double-minded, you're looking all the places, you go touch this one, you go save this one, you are mixed up in whom you are serving. Even the core, you know, the mantling of ministry will be scattered. But when you are fixed and you have a person that you are following, you receive the same mantle that they have. And so it is to all our students who will be following us and that will fix their eyes on this ministry. You're going to have a signs and wonders ministry, a ministry of miracles and wonders that are going to take you around the whole world. I remember as a teaching student in my class, because they began learning in my home in Zambia, in the living room. And before I built the Bible school, and I would hear them excited. They say, you know, this America, we'll go there too. But these were guys who I just, you know, who just started studying at my Bible school, the first batch of students I had, and they were talking like that. Guess what? They began traveling all over the United States, coming from Africa, having preachings in the United States, living here in the United States. Why? Because of the mantling in the spirit, God opens the special doors. And so I want to challenge you, students, wherever you are, know this one thing, that you're not wasting your time by joining and enrolling in the Word of Life Bible College. Because as you enroll in the school, the mantle that is upon Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, you're picking up that double anointing that will be upon your ministry and upon your life. And you're going to see great things come to pass if you take the Lord seriously. Today, I'm going to teach again in the book of Thessalonians, okay? Tomorrow we're going to have a dialogue with my mother-in-law about prayer, the power of prayer. And my wife is going to share something, and my mother-in-law is going to say something. It will be a general sharing in the broadcast I'm going to do tomorrow. But today I want to emphasize and just teaching, as we begin this brand new year, 2016, I want to share the Word of God with you intimately from my heart. See, the book of Thessalonians has touched my life so much in the sense that when I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he went through thick and thin. The most amazing thing was the power of the gospel. When I look at him going to a place where no gospel was preached, because that's what he said. He said, God sent me to go to places where the gospel has never been heard. Can you imagine a man going to people who are pagans, people who never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, He goes there and preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the people get born again, and they are changed, and they become mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. This is what the Word of God can do. God goes to work where we cannot go. God enters into the hearts of men where we cannot enter and changes them. See, I remember one time we were talking about this thin lady whose husband was beating her up and attacking her, but she was still glued to the man because she loved the man. I said to this friend, I said, you know what? She says she has tried everything, but I don't think she has tried Jesus. Because if she tried Jesus, all she needs to say is, Jesus, take care of this man. I said to the man, I said, you know, Jesus will go to a place where no man can go, inside the heart of that individual, and change them. Once a person is changed in the inner man, they are changed totally forever. That's the power of the gospel. It changes the aligned with the will of God, and to be aligned in the image of the glory of God. Well, beloved ones, let's look to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today, thanking you for your mercy and grace, that you are the God of compassion, a God of grace, a God who hears and answers prayer. We lift up our voices before your divine holy presence today, as we look to you as a God of mercy, a God of great compassion, a God of wonders, a God of miracles, and a God who hears and answers prayer. I pray today as we look into the book of Thessalonians that you're going to give us enlightenment to understand that which you have for us. Speak to your servants, O God, for your servant heareth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray thanksgiving, as everybody agreed together with me and said, Amen. Amen. Well, friends, I want us to turn again to the book of Thessalonians, the first epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Thessalonians. Let's look in chapter number 1, reading from verse number 5 to 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Here Paul writes, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." In Macedonia and Achaia. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And he says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, you know, this is a very powerful portion of Scripture. Here the Apostle Paul, if you really look at it, is mainly centering on the power of God or power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in my teaching yesterday, I've given you an introduction a little bit talking about who were writing the letter, how many they were. It was Paul and Silas and Timothy. Now, when we really look into the background of Thessalonica, we found that the founding of the church at Thessalonica, it was in response to the vision of the man from Macedonia, Putin back on Asia Minor and became the first non-Christian missionary to preach in Europe. And we found out that it is probable that this step did not seem so momentous to him as it does to us today. For he simply passed from one province of the Roman Empire to another. But it set the course of Christianity westward. In time, Europe would become Christian. What we are saying here is that when Paul moved from where he was in Rome and stepped out to go to Macedonia, Asia Minor, as it were, to him it was just like a stepping up. So far, he was making a remarkable history. It is through him that the gospel entered into Europe. Now we see, like I shared yesterday, he says, associated with Paul were Silas, Timothy, and Dr. Luke. See, Dr. Luke is the one who penned or wrote the book according to St. Luke, and also wrote the book of Acts. The book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke was always with the Apostle Paul. Wherever Paul went, in whatever times they had, the tough times and the beatings, the reports we hear were penned by Dr. Luke. You know, God will always give you people that are going to make sure that his vision comes to pass. What if Dr. Luke was not there? Do you think we could have most of the pieces delivered to us? Do you think that we would have made it the book of Acts? No. You know, some people, you know, they say, hey, God can use anybody. Use anybody. When the mark of God is upon you, like it was on Dr. Luke, and he assigns you to work with Paul, it's you the assignment is on. It's not on Jim and Jack. It's on you, Mulenga, Mutale, Chomba, whosoever, whatsoever name you are. When God's hand is upon your life and he says, I'm sending you to Dallas, he's not sending Jeremy to Dallas. He's sending Lawrence Mwamba to Dallas. You understand? He's not sending Peter or Kapomba or Chilufya or Chanda. All these are some Bemba names in Africa, Zambia. But listen, he's not sending Matthew to Dallas. He's sending Lawrence Mwamba and saying, Lawrence Mwamba, I want you to go on radio and television. If I don't do that assignment that the Lord has given me, I'm answerable to him. You understand? The point I'm trying to raise here is that you have an assignment that nobody else can do. You see, the Apostle Paul was assigned to go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. It wasn't assigned to anybody else. Yeah, and he appointed men who were to work with him. These were Silas. These were Timothy. These were Dr. Luke. You see, these men would say, hey, me, I don't want to go with Paul. Or I don't want to be with Silas. But you cannot separate yourself from what God has called you to do. If you do, you are actually, you know, fighting against the will of God. That's why we need to discern. Discern simply means you need to see in the spirit what God has called you to do and whom God has called you to be partners with. What you see, God has not called you to be within every ministry on earth. God has called you to be with one particular ministry. You see, here Paul was with Timothy, he was with Silas, and he was with Dr. Luke. These were people assigned to work with the Apostle Paul. Elijah had Elisha was assigned to him. Elisha was assigned to Elijah to learn from Elijah while he was alive, before he was taken to heaven, how ministry was conducted, how the preachings were done, and how the healings were brought forth. So, like I said before, God will attach you to ministries with different anointings because he has put a specific call for you. And he will place you under that ministry to receive the mantle so that you can go forth and perform according to the anointing that God has placed upon your life. And so we see here that Paul was associated with Silas, Timothy, and Dr. Luke. Now, according to this textbook I'm looking at, by Leon Morris. Morris says that there could be or may have been others also, apart from Silas and Timothy and Dr. Luke. But if so, he says, we have no knowledge of them. The little band, or the little number of people, followed Paul's usual practice of seeking out strategic centers from which they knew the new faith might radiate out to the surrounding district. Paul, I'm just saying that these men were his co-workers with the family. They start churches with the wife, husband, and children. And they step out in faith. Here, the Apostle Paul was stepping out with Silas, Timothy, and Dr. Luke. Like I said yesterday, I said, you know, you cannot do ministry by yourself. You know, you have to have people to help you do the work of the ministry. It's like in any other job. You know, you have the CEO, you have the chairman of the company, you have the various departments, head of departments, president of this area and that area. Everybody collaborates and they work as a team to bring forth the vision of that company to pass. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. We have an allocation of the difference in labor. Some in the church are eyes, some are ears, some are hands, some are feet, some are mouth to speak. So the point I'm saying here is that identify your call. Then we see here, even as Dr. Leon Morris says, he says this little band followed the Apostle Paul, and they looked for a strategic place where they can radiate the faith. See, when we are about to set a ministry, don't just go any place to build a ministry. You are here in Dallas, you go build a ministry all the way up to Waxahachie. I say, I'm going to reach Dallas. No, if you are in Waxahachie, you reach mainly Waxahachie. It takes time for you to build and reach Dallas. You see what I'm saying? But when God has sent you, like he sent us to Dallas here, we got to be strategic. You don't go to any place and say, oh, this will do, that will do. Here, we see Leon saying that to pick up a strategic place that would radiate their faith into the district of Thessalonica. Now, they preached with success, as we found out, in Philippi, a Roman colony, and the most important town in the district adjacent to their landfall. The mission there concluded with something very similar to a riot. That's what we found out yesterday. I read Acts 16:22, where the Apostle Paul was beaten and left for dead at Lystra. So they had a mission to reach out, and they went and established the work in Philippi, which was the Roman colony. And great things happened there, but you know, as they were establishing the work, they cast a demoniac out of this lady, and it stopped bringing money to their bosses. And these people got mad, and they turned up the Apostle Paul, handed him over to the city, and the city, you know, the big leaders put him in court and accused him of preaching a religion that had never been heard before. That's what I say, that persecution will come wherever you are. Now, we find out that these preachers here, they were beaten because of the gospel, but they never gave up. We see that after they were beaten and thrown in prison, there at Philippi, where they were preaching the word of God, and with great mighty signs and wonders, in the morning, Paul and Silas, as a Roman citizen, refused to accept summary release, ends with the lordly proctor bringing the humble preachers out of their prison and requesting them to leave the city. Now, the preachers then made for Thessalonica. After they left Philippi, they made for Thessalonica. They traveled to Thessalonica after they left Philippi and Lystra, especially where the Apostle Paul was beaten for death. To death. They passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. We see that in Acts 17, verse number 1. But there is no record of preaching in either center. They never preached in these two cities as they moved, in Amphipolis and Apollonia. Okay? It is clear that Paul
was seized with the importance of Thessalonica and wished to establish the church there. This was the largest and most important city in Macedonia and the capital of the promise. Its situation, halfway between the Adriatic and the Hellespont, the head of the Themaia Gulf, coupled with its fine harbor, made it the natural outlet of the trade of Macedonia and a center where many roads met. The great Via Egnatia, the Roman highway to the east, passed through it, as Meletius said long ago. So long as nature does not change, Thessalonica will remain wealthy and fortunate. To this day, it is a flourishing center. Now, what we are saying here, or Dr. Leon is explaining here, is that when the Apostle Paul got to this place after they left his Philippi, they were looking strategically of how they will reach the city. You see, when we apply getting into reaching the city, we must plan. We can't just get into Dallas and say we're going to win Dallas. There must be a strategy. The major strategy I've looked at myself here in Dallas is to begin with the media, on radio like we are doing, to let the people know who we are, where we are. The next thing is to move in and establish a church. As it were, if God calls us to do that, in the meantime, we do that. But you see, we're going to walk through the doors that the Lord opens. Right now, He has opened the door for the Bible school. That's the door we are going to go through, Bible school, start training men and women for the ministry. And when God again opens the door, He says, okay, pastor a church, that would be another different thing. We would start to pastoring a church. All I'm saying that the callings of God are different. And sometimes God will change His strategy in your life and the way He uses you. Don't be surprised. Like for me, I never realized that eventually the job I left, I'll get back to working for a season so that I can be sustained in ministry. And then after the ministry is established, get back into full-time ministry. I never knew that would happen, you see. And you know, when God closes doors, no man, see, when you say, hey, I got to make this, we're going to have $1,000 in Dallas, we're going to have such and such a building. If God does not give it to you, my friend, no matter how much you fight and crackle, you just have to wait for Him to move on your behalf, for the miracle to take place so that you can have these facilities. So this is what it is with the Lord. We have to be committed, number one. Two, we have to realize that God works by His vision, the way He has called us. We have to know that the vision is the thing that... When we have the vision from the Lord, that's the thing that will keep us running in ministry. And ministry as a strategy. You see, there was a strategy for Thessalonica. They had to find a way to reach this city. Other cities they passed through, they never pushed through there. See, there are places where God does not even allow you sometimes to preach or have a time of ministry. And people think it's vain. The thing is, you're just following the voice of God. So, dear beloved one, wherever God sends you, hear the still small voice. Know what God wants you to do. Now, there's a commentary here by Dr. Leon. He says in his markings and comments on his page, Paul and Silas are both mentioned as having been at Thessalonica. We do not hear of Timothy between the time Paul took him along on the journey from Lystra in Acts 16:1-3, and is being left at Berea with Silas. When Paul went on to Athens, Acts 17:14, the natural presumption that he had journeyed all along with Paul and Silas is strengthened by the fact that he is joined with these two in the superscriptions of both epistles to the Thessalonians.
But the superscriptions remain. When Paul introduces the letter to the Thessalonians, he mentions Timothy, he mentions Silas. That means these people were with him. We must always acknowledge the people that God is bringing in our midst. The people we are working with, always remember to give them the honor due them. But the most important thing is know the call that the Lord has given to you. God bless you. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, signing off from this broadcast and telling you, God loves you and we do too. Do His will in 2016. God bless you and bye-bye.